Here. Prophets are the eyes and ears of the church, who have distinguished my voice amidst the clamor of religious background noise. Prophets keep my people focused upon the task at hand. My purpose is to establish my kingdom on earth as it is in heaven through the revelation and unveiling of the glory of Christ. My spirit is assigned with the singular task of revealing my Son in the fullness of his glory so that all men and women may rally around this greatest of all kingdom endeavors. I am recruiting men and women who will lay down their lives for this highest purpose. I am gathering an army of sons and daughters who know my voice and who know my will and who will make the ultimate sacrifice of laying aside their own will for the establishment of my will on earth. Love will prevail in the midst of the darkness. Love will call a people out of the paths of selfish pursuits to lay down their lives for the upward call of heaven in this glorious hour. Nothing delights my heart more than to see my people break through the confusion of religious noise, to seek first my kingdom, and to catch the vision of my kingdom coming on earth. Everything that I did through my Son on earth, I now intend to do through my church. You are my sons and daughters, and I am passionately committed to revealing my Son in you and through you. I am bringing many sons and daughters to glory. As you receive the glorious ministry of my Son, you will be equipped to release my glory upon the earth. My glory is revealed through the words and the works of my Son. Receive his words with an obedient heart and let me train you to do his works. The works of my kingdom will shatter the prison doors and will release the ones held in the captivity of darkness. The outpouring of my spirit will result in the coming of my kingdom, and this will in turn result in millions of lost children coming home to my arms of loving kindness. Seek first my kingdom by receiving the ministry of my Son. Position yourselves before me to receive from me. Let the glory of the kingdom shine upon you as my Son ministers to you in the power of the kingdom. Receive the fullness of his glorious ministry, and your eyes will be fully opened to my purposes on the earth. Receive the kingdom and be set free from the meaningless religion that enslaves so many of my children. Let my Son come and wash your feet. Let him wash your heart and minister to your deepest needs. Let him sing his song of grace over you. Let him love you into freedom. The prophetic paves the way for the apostolic. When there are prophets in the church, the apostles will soon follow. Prophets unveil my will for the church. As men and women come under the sound of the prophets and rally around the ministry of my Son, an apostolic movement will arise to shake the earth. Prophecy paves the way for the sent ones to arise in great kingdom power and authority. I am restoring and sending prophets to prepare the way for the restoration of apostles in the earth. Did not my Son say, I will send them prophets and apostles? Apostolic leaders are the true ambassadors of my kingdom. They are not distracted by earthly things. They are a people of great spiritual focus and vision who have discovered the supreme joy of serving me through the advancement of the ministry of the kingdom of heaven. The apostles are coming. They are my gift to the church, and even now I am preparing them in secret. As these apostles arise, all of my people will have a clear choice. It is written, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute. Even now, these prophets and apostles are being unveiled, and the churches will either choose to welcome them or they will seek to silence them and kill them. I have seen this from before the foundation of the earth. How I have longed for the emergence of the prophets and apostles. How I have longed for men and women who can reveal my name and my nature to the churches. I am sweeping aside centuries of entrenched religious confusion as the apostles and prophets arise in the earth. I am moving on the emerging generation. They will cast off the inheritance of religious confusion and will rally around the apostles whom I will raise up. An apostolic movement is about to be unveiled throughout the earth. My spirit is preparing in secret a vast army of young men and women, old men and women who will carry the apostolic torch to the nations. I am raising up export quality Christianity. This will be a movement that I will be proud to export to the ends of the earth. As a father, I will take great pride in the emergence of this army of sons and daughters who will carry an apostolic anointing of signs and wonders throughout the entire world. The apostolic leaders that I am revealing in the earth are a transitionary generation. They will sow their vision and their passion into my church and will reap an army of millions of warriors. These are great times. These are times of great, unprecedented transition. I am doing an accelerated work in the earth. A momentum is building and the kingdom that is about to explode upon the earth. I will place an apostolic mantle upon those who are fed up with religion and who want to see my glory. I will allure them into the wilderness and will reveal my glory, just as I did with the children of Israel in the wilderness. But this generation will not perish in the wilderness. They will behold my glory and will be transformed from glory to glory into the very same image of my glorious Son. And they will carry my glory to the ends of the earth. These are the releasers of the glory of God. All over the earth, I am seeing the same thing. People are especially casting off the grave clothes of religion and abandoning themselves to my purposes. Even now, I am witnessing an unprecedented army of men and women emerging who will reveal and display my glory to the nations. Get ready. Prepare yourselves for a wave of my glory that will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. From one corner of the globe to the other, it will surely come. An apostolic community will arise and will cover the entire earth. I am passing by the previous generations. Most of them are too jaded and burned. Many of them have settled for the comforts of the world and have not responded to my voice. Those who have listened to the voice of my spirit have been called to prepare this emerging army who are about to step into the glorious ministry of Christ. Prepare yourselves for the coming of the kingdom. Prepare the way, for the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh will see it together. There is a collective voice crying in the wilderness like John the Baptist. There is an army emerging who are possessed with a vision. Nothing will deter them. They are resolute. They are preparing a highway for my glory to be revealed. The valleys are being exalted. The mountains are being laid low. The crooked places are being made straight. And the rough places are being made smooth. They are preparing themselves in secret to carry the fullness of the anointing of my Spirit. They will enter into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I will show them what I can do with a yielded generation. I will do in a few short years what has taken generations just for the church to see and to comprehend. My Spirit will have a people prepared for my glory. They will be the head and not the tail. They will walk upon the high places of the earth. They will walk in an apostolic anointing of signs and wonders. They will proclaim my gospel of grace. They will heal the sick. They will raise the dead. They will have power and the love to heal the brokenhearted. They will work for justice for the poor. They will prophesy my heart and my mind. They will destroy demonic strongholds, and they will demonstrate what it means to live in my favor. This is the apostolic army that I am rising up in these days. So prepare yourselves for the invasion of my glory. I will have a people who will know what it means to live in the promised land of my glory and my power, and they will usher in the kingdom of heaven on earth.
Lord gave Phil a year or two ago, and it's just to really decree the fullness of his message over us, the fullness of the gospel, that we were born for apostolic authority and power, not just to see from a distance, but to actually step into the reality of the New Testament. Fullness of power. In Acts chapter 5, they were all healed. Every single one. Every single one. We sign up for it tonight again, Lord. We sign up again. Jesus, thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes, Jesus. He's sealing what he's done today and sealing the word in your heart. Why don't we just put a hand on the person next to us, just one person tonight, just a partner, someone you haven't prayed for before today, someone different. Just pray that they come into the fullness of their destiny in this hour. Father, we really cry out for that, Lord. Come on, pray like you mean it. Really pray. Pray for their deliverance into fullness of authority. Pray for their increase. We would fulfill the destiny, Lord, that you have for us. glory falls on you. You'd receive the price that you would receive your price that you would receive. Yeah, Lord. Wow. Yay, Lord. Woo! Well, when you're ready, if you could stand up and get back to your seats, we're going to move on. A few things that we really want to do tonight. This is your prophetic impartation activation night.
Commissioning, you guys, pouring out upon you. It's good. It's really good. Just want to share with you a couple of things about tomorrow, what's going to happen tomorrow afternoon. So we're going to have a time of creative offering. God. How about a bit more like, fill me up, God. Fill me up. Yeah, fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. And make a big barrel and say, fill my barrel to the very, very, very top. So it overflows, the biggest barrel that you can get. And then now tip it all over you and drink up. Glug, 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 glug. We just release joy over you. I release the joy of God. Joy in your bellies. Joy in your mouth. to smile and to laugh and the pleasure of God to pour over you. If you're not like full yet, get a barrel again. Fill me in my barrel, God. Fill my barrel. I want more. Fill my barrel. And I want some more. I'm a greedy little one. Blessed are the thirsty. Happy, exceedingly, abundantly, overflowingly happy are the thirsty, for they shall be filled. Glug, 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 glug. More, 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 more. If you're not happy enough, put your barrel out again. Fill my barrel, God. Fill my barrel. Fill my barrel. I'm a greedy little one here. I want to be so happy. I want to be so ecstatically happy, just like you are happy. You're brimming. You're rejoicing over me. And glug, 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 glug. And now this time, fill my barrel, God. Fill my barrel. Fill my barrel. Fill my barrel. Pour it over someone else. Give it away. Whoosh, come on. Glug, 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 glug. Now what I want you to do is tap in to the tap of heaven on tap and pull it down and open your mouth and let it flow. Yeah, the new wine, the new wine, the new wine, the new wine, the new wine. Yeah. Come on, more drinking, more drinking, more drinking. Blessed are the thirsty, for they shall be filled, filled to joyful overflowing and exploding. Come on, come on, more, 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 more. Come on, yeah. We get to play with Jesus. We get to play. Ha ha! Woo! Shh. Yeah! Ah, yeah! Shh. Yeah! Woo! I see someone who's really stonker next to you. They look like they're drunk. Put your hands on them and say, more, 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 more. The best way to get really stonkered is you see what God's doing and you go to that place and you say more to that person and then you get the overflow. Yeah. More, more, more. Yeah, come on, you want to play? You want to play too? Come on. Hans and I were so stonkered at the beginning of the year. We had a friend of ours' legs like a cannon, and we were like, poof, poof, shooting glory bombs, and people were getting blasted in the presence. It's like, we're getting people's legs and shaking them. Lest we become like a little child. Yay! Woo! Do you know that it's proven that when people are happy, they're more healthy? They respond better to chemotherapy when they're happy. Yes! Yeah, more, 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 more! Ha ha ha. God's supposed to be fun, yeah? Supposed to be fun. We're not supposed to sit in chairs.
Yes, God, that's a good point.
Jesus cracking jokes, you know. Hey, does anyone have a pain here? Who has a pain here? Anyone has a pain here? Their back? Yeah. Put your hand on him. Yeah. Heal that now, Jesus, right now in Jesus' name. Full healing. Full healing. Who has insomnia? Yeah, put your hand on back. Yeah, more. Release healing. Who has insomnia? Insomnia? Problems sleeping? Bad dreams? Problems in the sleep? No one has bad dreams. Great. Glory. Woohoo! Ah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Knees. With their knees. Anyone have issues with their knees? Yeah, pop your hands on your knees. More, release healing, God. Come on. Healing in the glory. Come on. More. Jesus. More. Heartburn. Anyone struggle with heartburn? Yeah, more. Release that, God.
Yeah. Wow. Woo. Is there anybody here who has a physical condition that the doctors say that cannot be healed? Okay, stand up and we're going to have a couple people pray for you guys. Yep. What do you have? Oh, you have the liver thing and what is yours? Good Lord. Well, that's going in Jesus' name. Okay, a few people pray for that. And you? Sorry?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so if we could have a couple of people praying for each. Oh, there's more have decided that they've got diseases. Okay. It was a late decision, but nonetheless, you still count. So we have a few people. Come on, we need to activate the body here. Stand up and go pray for them. And we are not praying for their sickness. We are decreeing health and healing and holding and whole. I can't even talk. This is terrible. What am I saying? Be healed. Be healed. We decree healing over their bodies right now in Jesus' name. I'm going to just release the prophetic tonight. What we've decided to do is to do what we call prophetic chairs tonight, where we put out the chairs and just release you guys to just minister completely.
Amen.
And it's just a prophetic hiccup, that one. And so we want to do that tonight so everyone gets a prophecy. Could you put your hand in the air if you have never received a prophecy before? So anyone here has never had a prophetic word? Okay, well, you get to go first. You get to go first. And also, if you were trying to get ministry this afternoon but you didn't, yes, John, and also there were some others who didn't get ministry this afternoon. I know Tony didn't and Teresa. So you guys come first, okay? So I'm just saying that now so that we make sure everyone gets ministered to this weekend because we really want you to just be so enriched and blessed. Okay, so briefly, what we're going to do is we're going to take a 3-month school, and we're going to do it in 10 minutes. That's going to release the joy right there. I know I'm feeling happy just thinking about it. Hey, I was feeling so happy during that prophecy. I could have just about, lost it, actually. I was getting pretty amped because that is a good word, isn't it? Isn't that a good word? If you would like a copy of that, I can email it to you and you can send it out to, I'll send it to Ilona and you guys can have that because I believe that is a great word that should go out and keep encouraging you. You could turn it into wallpaper in your bathroom. You'll never be depressed again. Just wake up in the morning and prophesy. I know I do and it works wonders. And that's what it's all about. So You know, we are so blessed because we're living in a time when the spirit of prophecy is just maxing out across the planet, and there's no excuse for being, you know, really discouraged anymore. I mean, people get depressed for different reasons. You know, if they lose someone or there's deep grief or deep loss or trauma, that's understandable. But in terms of being wholly and totally discouraged, no, I'm sorry. The days of that are over. Turn to someone and tell them the days of being discouraged are over. There's a spirit of prophecy in the house, and prophecy is all about you getting built up and encouraged. In 1 Corinthians 14, that's the EEC, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay? So there's no excuse for anyone to be discouraged at all, because we can just prophesy to one another and start encouraging one another. So you get down and you're feeling like you're having a really bad day, what do? You prophesy. Thank you. Someone's awake tonight. So you prophesy. You prophesy to yourself. You go up to the bathroom mirror. You look at yourself in the eyes. Give yourself a few healthy slaps and say, what are you thinking? You wonderful person. Caught myself. That was the old carnal nature. It nearly manifested. I got delivered of self-hate. And you prophesy to yourself. And you pull out all the prophecy cards. Mine, as you can see, have nothing written on them, but they're going to. And you prophesy to yourself. And you say, this is the word of the Lord. You look at me. You look at me right now, you say to yourself in the mirror. And you say, God is pouring out his spirit, and you have absolutely no excuses to be thinking negative thoughts, because all across the earth right now, the saints are rising up, and you've been called to the front line, and you are full of the glory. And you just do this in the morning. I want you to go home tonight and practice a couple of times into the mirror, and then get up tomorrow morning, and when you go, I feel really tired, I'm so tired, I don't know if I can do this today, you prophesy to yourself. When the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, you'll rise up as mighty men and you'll have strength. You have strength. It just says, if those who wait on the Lord will be renewed in strength. That's a good prophecy right there. If you don't have your own prophecies, borrow the one in the Bible, in Isaiah, and try that one out every morning when you wake up and you feel really horrible because you had another late night. And you're mad at yourself, you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. There's a good word right there. And you prophesy to yourself and you strengthen yourself in the Lord. So we have no more excuses. You see, you are living in an occult environment here, and the principalities and powers over this region are really excited about getting you depressed. I can feel it. It's like impinging upon the saints, you know, it's like a tidal wave and it just wants to break over you. But it's not going to, because you live in the glory zone, you live in the glory realm, and you have a spirit of prophecy brooding over you as a people group. And so God has given you authority to prophesy to one another. You don't need to address that thing. Let's not get weird and do weird and wonky spiritual warfare. No one should engage the powers. How you engage the powers is through spiritual warfare, through pulling down the strongholds on the inside. Okay, so if it's still, you know, in the Gospels it said, you know, the evil one is coming. Hang on. The Son of God is coming. And no, it's not going to happen. There's a verse somewhere in the Bible. I'm getting really tired tonight, but I'm going to get this out if it kills me. No, it's not going to kill me. The Son of God is coming and the evil one has nothing on him. It's in John. I know it's in John. That's it. He has nothing in me. And basically what that means, he had no hook on Jesus. If you're still getting depressed, downtrodden, oppressed, grumpy and sad, it's because you still have hooks on you the devil can get hold of through the principalities and powers that are over this place. So the warfare that you are in begins internally, and it all starts with you getting up in the morning, looking yourself in the eyes and prophesying to yourself. Because if you can prophesy to that person, you can then leave the bathroom, go out into the kitchen, say, good morning, darling. Would you like a cup of tea? And when your daughter goes, or your son or whatever, you just prophesy to them, it's going to be a beautiful day today. Gosh, we're blessed. Have you noticed the azalea bushes in the garden? Have you noticed God's beauty today? Because I have, and it's certainly stunning. We are so thrilled. Look, let's have fruit. We live in a nation with fruit. I'm happy about that. I like fruit in the morning and yogurt. And look at these strawberries. And you prophesy about the goodness of God, that He gave us strawberries and He gave us bananas. And we have all these other things that we get to enjoy. That's how you do prophecy. It's a spirit of encouragement and manifests through your mouth and you speak it out. Life and death is in the power of the... So you speak out life and you reap life. You speak out death and you get a bad day. Okay? So when I was a depressed person, I was going to say prior to coming to the Lord, but I actually got more depressed after I came to the Lord. Because I had to deal with the church. That was really... And I've been in some really interesting churches. And I used to get really depressed. And I wasn't kidding what I said this last night or this morning. I've lost track of when I said what. But honestly, you know, I'm prophetic and I'm wired prophetically. And it doesn't take much for me to pick up on what's going on. And if I think anything's weird, you'll know about it within about 10 minutes. You know, it's really weird in here. I'm just sensing something really weird. Can you feel that? It's really weird, you know. That's how I function. And so I went into churches and it didn't feel like Jesus was there. In fact, I heard Graham Cook say that once. He said, I went into this church. I walked into the auditorium. Jesus was not in the auditorium. I walked into the bookshop. Jesus was not in the bookshop. I walked into the bathroom and Jesus was in the bathroom. So I stayed in there. And he said they had a revival meeting in the bathroom. And he didn't make it into the auditorium and then he went home. So I'm not prophesying that you should do that. I'm just saying sometimes Jesus isn't there in his glory. You know, it's really hard work. And so we have to shift the atmosphere. Shift happens. Say after me, shift happens. Okay? And the shifters of the shift are you. You're a shifter. You have to shift it. It's time to... It's seriously time to shift it. I do not want to live under oppression. When we first moved to Adelaide, hands up who has ever lived in Adelaide. We'll come and console each other later. Dear Jesus, all I can say is let thy kingdom come. I mean, we're talking like oppression on bazillion. Like we were in revival and everything was wonderful and amazing and good. And then we left there and went to Adelaide and it was just like, oh, I don't think I can do this. I am going to get very unhappy. Every day was a battle. I was just like, oh, it was just like, I honestly think I might have even had chronic fatigue because it was so oppressive. I would just like drag my body around the house in the morning. The kids would sit in front of play school and that was my discipline. Once they were in front of play school, I go to the bedroom and I warfare. And then sometimes I would go and make the beds and I would look at the bed and I would just go, I'd hit the deck. And it wasn't because I was tired, I was oppressed. You know when you get really heavy and you just want to sleep all the time? That's not because you didn't get enough sleep. That's often because you're oppressed. And we have to come against that oppression. I don't even know why I'm sharing all this tonight, but I feel that it's a bit of a spiritual Adelaide. It's the Adelaide thing. We can shift it later. But, you know, it's all about being someone who can speak life. That's what it's about. It's about speaking life. And I don't know about you, but, you know, I get depressed when I hear just so much death coming at me. It's not about death, but it's just depressing, you know. It's like You just want to slash your wrists because it's just so depressing. It's like it's too much depression coming at you. I'm not talking about ministry situations. I counsel people all the time. I can deal with problems. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who sit there and whinge and complain about the atmosphere without actually wanting to do something about it. Someone has a problem and they need deliverance. That's not a problem. We can fix that. Or they need comfort or they need counseling. That's not a problem. I'm talking about submitting to the atmosphere. And what we need to do is speak life. We have to invite the spirit of prophecy to come and reach a point where we have a zero toleration for negativity. You know, we've battled with that. We've been through some dark nights. It's not like it all just got served up to us on a golden platter. We had to fight. You know, and these guys have been with us for yonks and they know some of our negativity. And, you know, it's just like, just kind of, you know, you fall into your Wheaties in the morning because you're just like depressed. It is depressing when you don't have any money, your kids are going AWOL, the cars have blown up, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? If that's your peace, then you will come down. But if you have another source, if your joy is Jesus, it actually doesn't really matter what money you've got, whether you've got cash or not, or whether you've got cars or houses or stuff. Stuff is nice, but if you don't have any stuff, well, you just have to rejoice anyway and enjoy the journey and just get drunk. That's my advice. Okay, drink your sorrows away, thank you. There's two types of drunks. No, we won't go down that path. Okay, so in Acts chapter 2, we have this extraordinary prophetic word on the day of Pentecost where Peter decrees that in the last days that God's going to pour out his spirit and the sons and daughters are going to prophesy, young men are going to dream, see visions, and old men are going to dream dreams. Now, you know, let's not get sexist, Peter. There are women who also have visions and dream, aren't there, Kelly? Last night we prayed for a dream. She gets a dream. Some people just get dreams. You just ask for one, you get one. I mean, it doesn't work like that for me. But there are some people who just dream all the time and get visions and move in and out of the prophetic realm like it was just, you know, just it's an open heaven. You know, they just live there and they get that all the time. For me, it's I don't live there 24/7. I have my spurts and my spats, but you know, there's a rhythm to the prophetic. But I believe that God wants to increase and abound the prophetic anointing over our spiritual houses so that it becomes like in the Old Testament, the Naoth community that Samuel developed, which we read about in 1 Samuel 19 and in another, I think in 10, 1 Samuel 10, where the Spirit of the Lord came so mightily on Saul and he wasn't the prophet, but on Samuel and the other prophets, what they called the sons of the prophets, that they came under an ecstatic anointing. They were just like frenzied, basically. The word ecstatic, actually, the true meaning of the word ecstatic is frenzied. And we've watered down, the translations actually got watered down. But the true meaning is to be frenzied, to be completely beside yourself, not even to be aware. You're so possessed, you don't know what you're doing. Now that can occur when you dance, that can occur when you're writing or, you know, doing poetry. It can occur when, that's not a good look. And then you can also have it happen during music. I knew these guys would get frenzied, but it's a state of being. It's actually a state of being. Do you know, In the past, when the prophets first started prophesying in the Old Testament, maintain. They actually, many times, they were referred to as those who had divine madness. See, we've actually sanitized the prophetic anointing. Just extend your hands to them. I'm sure they'll move through it. No. But like, we've actually sanitized the church, and prophets in many churches today are these kind of spooky characters that come out and, you know, they kind of, you know, have a style thing going, and they have like, you know, kind of, you can sort of feel it coming down the pipeline. Thus says the Lord, you know, and then it goes on, and it's really kind of like programized almost, you know, that after the worship, the prophet in the house is going to stand up and he's going to be the only guy who gets to prophesy. Well, that's just a load of bunkum. Basically, God is wanting every single one of us to prophesy, from the smallest to the greatest. Doesn't matter whether you know, we have seen people get saved 3 days old in the Lord, come out of Satanism and be prophesying accurately. And seriously, it's incredible. They come into your glory community, into your Naoth community, where there's an open heaven and the spirit of knowledge is resting over the people. They just come under that and they will begin to decree and to begin to prophesy. And you know, they can't help themselves. And that's exactly what happened to Saul. Saul was going to actually arrest Samuel with 50 men on horses. Now, I mean, 50 men on horses arrive at your church. If 50 men on horses arrive at your church, it's a little intimidating. You know what I mean? You are a little concerned at that moment, because that is not normal, right? And these guys were not having a picnic. They were not going out for a Sunday afternoon cheese and wine. They were going to arrest Samuel and throw him in the bin. They were not happy. Saul was not happy. And so they're like going like madmen on these horses. And then they arrive at Naoth, come under the glory zone, and they fall off their horses. They fall down on the ground and they start prophesying. And I think Saul even took his clothes off. He was really lost the plot. Basically, I cannot read it to you because it's just too much, but it's just intense. What happens to these people? They get possessed. Something comes over them and they're not acting normal. Normal Christianity. Normal Christianity where everyone's sitting in nice little rows. No, they're not doing that. They are breaking out and just like rolling around on the ground, tearing at their clothes, possessed by the Spirit. Now, that may not happen very often in your gatherings, but it's in the Bible, and according to the Bible, that is what the spirit of prophecy looks like, because the word here that is used frequently in the Old Testament is the word nabi, and it means ecstasy. They were ecstatic prophets. And so ecstatic prophets are fun. And you know what? I believe that God is going to amp out the prophetic anointing in this place. And many of you are going to go to a new level. There was an impartation tonight through what you received. And you're hungry for it, aren't you? You want that. And so you've just got to lean into it and give yourself permission to just have a little bit more of the divine madness that he has for you. We were talking today about busting out of that religious mindset and getting rid of the ball and chain. Well, you know, I reckon if you got up every day, first of all, did the in the eyeballs and then went out to the sink and greeted your loved ones with prophecy and then went, got in the car and tried to get 5 words of knowledge on the way to the office about the people that are before you and behind you in the car, then parked your car, walk into the office and go, it's going to be a glorious day, and start to prophesy to everybody, after about 3 weeks, you'll have a personality change. Does that sound like a good idea? And it's just really, really fun. It's really fun. I'm having fun with it. Because you know what? Every time you prophesy, it's vengeance on the devil. You know, and he's kind of ticked in this Dandenong. Are we in the Dandenongs? I keep saying that. We're not. We're kind of in the... We're near them. Yep. And, you know, I've heard about the Dandenongs. And, you know, I used to hear things about, you know, witches and things like that. Scary things, you know. No, I'm just being silly. Just about witchcraft. And, you know, you can build up a thing. People have a big thing about Byron Bay as well, you know. It's like, it's so scary there. How do you live there? And it's like, gosh, it's just easy. It's an open heaven. It's really easy. And God wants to establish an open heaven here. It doesn't matter whether, you know, Wally the Warlock lives next door. Wendy the Witch. Who cares? You know. Praise Jesus, they live next door to you because you get to prophesy to them every day. You know. Good morning. Isn't it amazing? We live in Australia. The sun is shining. I had strawberries for breakfast. Woohoo! You know. Just prophesy joy to them every day. Get into your car laughing. Good morning, Molly. Lovely day, Wendy. You know, just enjoy it. Don't be freaked out. You have all authority. You can prophesy, and every time you prophesy, the powers of darkness shrivel a little bit more, and they just have to come down. And this is our warfare. The power that you have is manifest through your tongue. When you go to heal someone, you don't just stand there, do you? You lay hands on them and you speak words of life. When we go and minister, we release words of life. We preach the gospel or we counsel. It's all to do with our tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so we've just got to keep on going and keep prophesying, keep shifting the atmosphere over the region, because you are seated in heavenly places and you've been given all authority over all the powers of darkness, and now it's time to use that power to bring a shift. Everyone say shift. Okay. We want to see a shift occur, and the way we bring each other, this is the other really vital thing. The way that you get graduated into a whole new place is through the prophetic word. You can't get there on your own. It's through people encouraging you. You know, I just feel really discouraged. Just no one, whatever, you know. And it's like, what do you do? You don't, you know, you sit there and you're saying all this stuff. So the saints come along, they, oh no, you're not really, you know, demonized, whatever. You're actually a son of God. And we start prophesying and they go, I am? Oh, wow, is that coming under something or what? I need to renounce the lies. And so you start breaking the lies. You start coming back into alignment with God. You start partnering with heaven. Pretty soon that person gets supercharged. They go out. They start prophesying over Wendy's and Wally's in their street. And we have a kingdom revolution. This is how it occurs. You know, you go from being all shriveled up in a fetal position wanting to slash your wrists to being a wild, ecstatic prophet who's changing atmospheres, right? This is the change for every one of us. And God is commissioning us tonight to rise up and to prophesy. And if you're in a church, I want to encourage you tonight. Well, you should all be in a church, actually. If you're not, you're in trouble. But whatever church you're from, whatever church you represent here tonight, go back and prophesy tomorrow morning. Not from the pulpit, because you haven't been given authority, but go and pick on 20 people during the coffee break and say, you're an amazing person. I just see that, and away you go. And then, right, one, I've got 19 more to go before the coffee break's over. You're going to have to be in ecstatic state to get that done, especially with some of the coffee breaks they have. They're only like 10 minutes, so you have to prophesy fast and notch up 20 prophecies. And then the next day, well, I've got another 20 now. I have to go and find another 20 people to prophesy over. And every time you prophesy, you're releasing. No, you're not releasing shift. Oh, I have to start over now. Life. Say life. Now you have to say it 6 times. Life, 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 life. Okay, you're releasing what? Oh, we are understanding the message. That was so Monty. Oh, glory. Okay, so we're releasing life. Okay? We're not releasing the other thing, which we do not want to release anymore, the shift. There's a few prophets who release a bit of shift every now and again, and people like me have to come along and clean up the mess. It's not good. We had one of those come through our community, and did he make a mess? Ho. So, we really need to step into this realm, I believe, because God's not looking for people that are well-mannered and organized. You know, the Holy Spirit is not a gentleman. He's actually a takeover, you know, he's like a trooper, you know. He comes on his horse and he's not Jesus, gentle, meek and mild like some of us learnt when we were little. He's actually a mighty warrior. He's frightening in one sense, and I don't mean in the fear sense, in case anyone thinks I'm saying that, but he is so full of majesty that it's terrifying. And so when he comes with power, he's not always gentle. And often in the church, we sanitize the church of wildness. And I want to tell you tonight, you know, you're going to be seeing more and more wild prophets rising up. And they're going to freak you out. And they're going to be unusual. Or they're going to be different. And the Lord wants you to just get ready to accept them into your tribes. Because the church needs the prophets. God is looking for prophets. And many of you are called into the office of the prophet. But you are all called as prophetic people. So it's not... When we think, I'll just clarify that, when we think of the prophetic anointing, it's over the entire church, okay? but there are only certain ones who are called to what we call the office of the prophet. So we don't need to go around going, Prophet Kelly, this is Prophet Hans. Prophet Maria said that Prophet Mia was coming over. We don't act like that in the church. And if we do, we need deliverance. So don't think I'm saying that. I'm just saying everyone is prophetic, but only certain people stand in the office of the prophet. And I get to in our church, so that's kind of cool. But I've earned my right. I've paid my dues. I've worked very hard to be under authority and to be trained. And we have up-and-coming prophets in our church who will probably fulfill that role as well as in the office of a prophet. That is a totally different role to someone who is just... has a very strong prophetic anointing. There's different people in the church that manifest anointings for different reasons, and we do a whole teaching on that in our school about the different manifestations of the prophetic anointing, for example, in worship, or they might hold the evangelist anointing as well, and so, you know, tandem with the prophetic anointing for that, or they might have a social justice thing. They might be a prophet to the poor. So on and on. And I'm not going to carry on with that any further. But are you guys getting the idea? So we need to pull down any mentality that says, look, you know, I do not and cannot and I'm not available for prophecy. You all need to be prophesying, okay? Every person here is a prophetic person who can release life. And today we've had such a beautiful day. It was just glorious to see everyone come together and you know, prophesy through poetry and writing and through worship and sound instruments, through the dance and the drama, and then through the more tactile arts of the painting and the sculptures. Are the two sculpture pieces still here? Oh, great. Awesome. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to blend all of what we've gained together in one big bowl with a big liter of joy, mix it in, swizzle it around, okay, having a bit of a glory cocktail tonight, and we're going to create a space here. In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to move all the chairs back. I was going to do a straight line, but I've just suddenly realized I can't stand straight lines. I think we should just move all the chairs right back, and we're going to create 20 chairs because I figured there's about 60 people here, I think. Is that right? Yep. So if we did 20 people at once and we each got had, you know, sort of, what time is it actually? Let's work this out mathematically. This is how we do this when we do it. 9:40. Well, if we were to finish at 10:30, would that be okay? So how many minutes is that? 30 and 20 is 50, divided by 3 is 20, 17. Okay, let's get quarter of an hour maximum each. That would probably be enough. Might even make it 12 minutes, actually. Tends to be about 12 to 15 minutes in the chair. In that period of time, we want to see all of you activated. So I don't want to come around and just see people standing there limp, staring at the poor person who's sitting in the chair. Okay? It's not a case of, do I have something to say? You have tons to say. Or you might want to quickly, this is the other thing we would like you to do, is walk around if you're a writer or a poet, and you might want to write some things down for them and just put it in their lap. Or if you're a dancer, we would love to see the dancers dance around them tonight, like a victory or a war dance or something jubilant, depending on what you're feeling. I don't know that we have instruments. Normally, if we did something like this, we could do instruments, but we can't do that tonight because it's just going to be too much. And the other thing, so we have the dance, we have... Oh, painting. So for those who'd like to just also walk around with a clipboard would be great with a few colours and just quickly do them a quick picture, okay? We don't want everyone doing that. We want a mixture of stuff. So be sensitive. So if you come over and, you know, this guy's sitting in a chair and there's like three people drawing pictures and no one's speaking, well, don't you come and draw a picture as well. You start prophesying over the guy because we want to max it out so that every person gets a real, you know, entree, main course and a dessert, everything that they could want. Yeah, that was the other thing. We can sing over them as well. The people who love to sing can come and prophesy in song over them and just release a beautiful word to them. So how does that sound? You ready? Excited? Awesome. And we're going to speak life. Life, life, life. Edification, exhortation and comfort. Okay, that's our three New Testament decrees. So let's get ready, and we will need to just have the 20 chairs in this whole front space on the carpet.